Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, welcome to Life's a Pitch. My name's Mike Calvin. I'm joined by Tony Evans of the Evening Standard and David Walker of the Daily Mirror. Pathetic, inept, embarrassing, a complete and utter shambles. These things happen, according to Roy Hodgson. Really? The England football team plays under false pretenses. Players and managers are overrated, overpaid, overindulged. They're ruined by flattery and false praise. We'll talk about Hodgson's successor, but Tony, will anything really change?
Well, it should do, and it should do quickly, and it should be easy to do it. But, you know, looking at past performance, no, it won't, because the FA are inept. The line of thinking in English football is stupid and archaic. And what the response to this will be to look what people do elsewhere and go, ooh, who can we copy next? Remember they tried to copy the Ajax Academy system? Then it was like, oh, Clairefontaine, let's build our version of that. And then it was, oh, Barcelona and Spain, let's be like them. And then it was Germany. You know what? No one's thinking, what do English players do well? How can we get the players here to play in a way that suits them? And until someone starts thinking like that and putting a manager who can work them into a system that suits them and get them to play to a plan, it won't be the same. Hodgson was completely the wrong man. The FA have just wasted 4 years and God knows how many millions of pounds.
14 million pounds, David. And there's no way that's value.
No.
Is that just though a red herring? Are we looking at something much more important than one man's salary, which is the system that created him?
Yes, but I'm not being facetious here. Remember, Roy was seen as good value for money after Capello and others that had gone before him. So this was a sound opportunity to make the finances a bit more sane. So you're absolutely right. There are flaws in the DNA of English football. One of them is in the appointment of England managers by the FA, who, if you look back right back to the 70s, basically lurch from one to an opposite, be it in his temperament, in his age, in his nationality. So we'll embrace a foreigner, but if that doesn't work, oh, it's got to be an English appointment. If it's an old Englishman, we've got to go for a young. So, for instance, after Sir Alf Ramsey was famed for being taciturn and not speaking to the press, Don Revie was famed as being the man who embraced all the press and was always about. So it's there, it's been set, and that's the way the FA react to things. I hope that'll swap, that will change, and they will bring in a view of this is a future, this is a strategy that works for England. But I don't want what happened last night, the Iceland defeat, to be solely put on Roy Hodgson's toes, because whilst he and his coaching staff were culpable for a lot of things that have happened out in that tournament, you have to say a number of England players have failed to deliver. Players who we see week in, week out, playing well for their clubs, who clearly suffer some sort of mental issue when they're asked to play on an international field. And that is a huge issue that needs resolving.
But it does need strong, principled, intelligent management. And, you know, we've looked at Roy Hodgson, and I take your point that it's not all his fault, David, but he scuttles away without a press conference, without a parting word. There's a degree of arrogance in that which actually taints the entire England setup.
Oh, without a doubt, you know, it's a perfect example of someone not taking responsibility, not fronting up. The players in the shirts on the pitch didn't take responsibility. Yes, they were saddled with archaic tactics and a game plan that really was...
Well, it was non-existent.
Brain dead. But you know what? Someone's got to take responsibility. Someone on the pitch should be saying, all right, you know, we can beat these. There was so much pace in that squad and it was squandered. You know, it was just the four goal scorers that you'd actually, most of the squads in the competition would kill for, and didn't get anything out of them. But someone had to say, we won't play this way. Let's get on the ball. Let's get it up forward fast, and let's exploit, essentially weaker opposition. That group was a 9-point group, and never mind going out to Iceland last night. They were a last minute goal against Wales when they were playing 4-2-4, a cavalry charge. The charge of the light brigade, very light. They were that late goal away from going out in the group stage.
Why is it that England players, as you say, David, they play well every day that they turn up in the Premier League, that they become almost mentally flaccid? They just can't respond. There's no mental strength there.
I've got a personal theory. I worked in football for 5 years around the early 2000s, and I saw something then that I think is getting worse now, and it's this. I think there are some players, and I think there probably always have been, who see this as a proper profession, a very highly paid one, who spot what their deficiencies are, who adapt to sensible, and I say this, proper lifestyle in terms of how they behave off the field, who spot things that they need to work on and will go and do extra sessions with coaches and remain really grounded. And I promise you, there are a number of good pros, some of whom aren't English, some of whom may never get in the England squad, but actually work at it and appreciate their trade. Sadly, I saw the other side, and let's be blunt, there's probably a few of these in the England squad right now, where they're not diligent in terms of professionalism. They get caught in two mates. It's not one scrape in the early hours of the morning outside a club with mates. It's two, three and four scrapes. And some of those people, I think, are working on the basis, well, what have I got to lose? You're paying me all this money. It's a short career. I'll have a laugh with it and I'll make the most of it. And they skulk away. In a sense, I wouldn't accuse Roy Hodgson of that, but his skulking away last night with that emphasises how you get away with it. So we need more people who've been brought up properly through an academy system that can work and develop players, but where they've got proper standards and a proper appreciation. So, for instance, just finish off on one thing, Mike. Italy were brilliant yesterday, but they're a hard-drilled, really well-coached team by Conte. He has worked hours on a training ground with them. You know it, Mike. We've been there. If he tried those things, and it'd be great to see what happens at Chelsea, the world will come out, oh, the players don't fancy this, he's working them too hard, and they'll start stopping away. With the Italian lot, their mentality as we work, I fear that is the sort of thing in our DNA that's got to be sorted out. It's got to be cleared out.
And it's not rocket science, is it? It's excellence through repetition, which is not just about Italian football. I've done quite a lot of work with Olympic athletes. And you speak to an Olympic champion and ask them, what is the most important factor in success in elite sport? And they will point to their head and they will say, mental strength and the ability to actually almost respect your talent. And give everything you can.
Yeah, I mean, there are not enough players committed to improvement. I mean, you're lucky, you can blame the clubs, you can blame the coaching. But, I mean, famously, Manchester United, Beckham went back, Gary Neville went back in the afternoons and they taught themselves to do things. Beckham became the best of free kicks in the world, the best of crosses. Gary Neville turned himself into a brilliant up-and-down full-back, wing-back, really. And the commitment to the trade, you look at the other players like Carragher, who really never had the talent to be at the top level, but by sheer force of will and working of his craft, developed into a fine player. And there are players like that, but there's not enough of it. You look at within the England squad, you look at Raheem Sterling, whose crossing's weak, whose shooting's poor, whose decision-making's awful. You know what? He's got all the pace in the world. He should be tearing up this tournament, but he hasn't.
And we've got a system where agents are approaching 8-10-year-old boys. Right. You've got teenagers asking for, actually demanding, £35,000, £40,000, £50,000 a week without any first team experience, and they're being indulged. That way is madness.
Totally. I've got sight. I actually have a copy of a contract. A Premier League player who was signed at 16 on £500,000 signing on fee, and was immediately put on at 16 from leaving school on £25,000 a week, basic wage. bonuses tied in there over the life of this about if he made progress into the under 21 team, into the first team, and renegotiation. The amount of, and then loyalty payments on top of that. But you're left with, where is the hunger for anybody if you're going to give them as a basic salary over £1 million a year, age 16? I mean, to me, that is just, it's an insult to the logic of rewarding people for achieving success. You're actually just sating their, and maybe the parents' desire for money. You might as well pack in now. It's just madness.
So someone like Gareth Southgate is actually working in that development, in inverted commas, environment at the moment. He's a company man and is the favourite to become the next England manager, whether that's on a full-time basis or in an interim basis. One, do you expect him to get the job? And two, how will he do the job?
Well, I'd expect him to get the job. I wonder whether he's got the personality to go in and shake up that dressing room, to shake up the squad and change the mentality, hold people accountable. You know, it's, I mean, one of the things that's changed in the game over the last few years is perhaps players are too nice. You know, it's it used to be a very, very Darwinian world, those dressing rooms, where people would be called to account. You know, no one seems to have that. There's no one in that England squad with that nasty edge who you'd be, well, Vardy has to a certain extent, but he won't have the presence in that, you know, that squad. But to call people out and to challenge them and to, you know, it's, I mean, the money doesn't help, but it's the mentality, it's the mindset to be a winner. And, you know, the money makes them think they've won anyway in the game of life.
Well, it's reward without achievement,
yeah,
isn't it?
But, yeah, you know, it's there's lots of players I know who go out and they play for a tenner a week. They just want to win. But there's too many who are going out and, you know, just doing the job.
I think Tony's right with this, because I'll tell you what, I remember in the 70s and early 80s, that great Liverpool team, Bob Paisley just had to lob the thing in. It was the famous thing where he had called a team meeting and having a bad run and said, some of yous aren't doing it, and just walked out. And it sparked this incredible row with all the players in there. But you've got people like Souness and Kenny Dalglish. I'm not having it implied that I'm not. Next thing is, they transform the season, win the league. As Alex Ferguson has admitted at Man United, some of their biggest showdowns, he wasn't even in the room. The players would call their own meeting.
Schmeichel and
absolutely,
Gino
Schmeichel,
like
Brian Robson, and then it became Roy Keane, and Cantona would have his say. And they were not, and you know, Roy Keane and Gary Neville's confirmed it, they were not bosom buddies and people who wanted it. They were professional footballers doing a job. But that Keane, Gary Neville mentality, and Keane the winner, Gary, how he realised, how he personally had to work, because he was the last pick of coming out of the academy to get a contract then. What he did to work at, that's the exact mentality we need the whole of the England team to be based around. Then you've got a chance. As it is, too many of them are flimsy people.
Yeah. So we talk about the England manager's job being the impossible job. Now, I happen to think that Hodgson got off pretty lightly, and he didn't have to resign in a toilet like Kevin Keegan, for instance. But is that a job that, if you're a Premier League manager, you wouldn't touch that with a barge pole, would you?
Well, I don't know. I think it's the easiest job in the world. I mean, you know, I keep hearing it's the impossible job. What cowardice it is from them all. Well, Hodgson was, you know, he took a cowardly approach to it. You go in there, especially with this squad, you look at the strikers, you all have a bit of that. Midfielders, you've got Dele Alli coming through. You know, you've got Dyer, who's a good player. You know, look at that. There's Sterling in his pace. Oh, yeah, I'll have a bit of that. If someone can sort John Stones out, you've got a proper centre-half. There's a platoon of fullbacks who were excellent, you know, among the successes in it. I'd be going, bring them on. You know what? It doesn't take much to organise these boys. All right, lads, get the ball. Get it up quick. You know, let's get it into the area where the goal scorers can hurt them. You know, it's not rocket science, but it's people approach it in such a timid way, and they approach playing for England in such a timid way. God, you know, what an opportunity, and, you know, and people are going, it's an impossible job.
I tell you what, though, Mike, I think the FA have missed the boat here now, because that is, as an organisation, they are racked by financial issues and where they're trying to change their structures, where some really good people have been made redundant or driven out of the business. So they're bringing things down, which is part of where Roy Hodgson was and how he survived 2 years ago. And the fact is, if you're pitching, if you're saying, would a top Premier League manager leave a job there to walk into the FA? I think the answer's a firm no now. The days where the Capello-type thing and Sven were on the real big books and people said, oh, I'd take that, I think that boat has sailed. But, it's a big but, if you look at it, Tony's right, there is still a challenge. Somebody always wants to step into it. I have a theory that Gareth Southgate will get it by default because he's in the building and he'll be cheap.
Yeah, and, you know, they'll miss a trick because you look at what happened with the England rugby team, where they absolutely fell to pieces mentally during their own World Cup. They get a really good coach in there, takes no nonsense, has his own captain, his standard bearer, Dylan Hartley. You know, Eddie Jones has transformed that team in 6 months. So it is possible.
Well, without a doubt. You know, often people say, oh, managers don't really matter. They do. And that's a perfect example of how they do it. One, you get the minds right. Two, accountability becomes a big thing, which, you know, is very big in the England camp. And three, give them a game plan they can work to and understand. And look at the opposition's weaknesses now. You can exploit them. We saw none of that with Hodgson's England. None of it.
And the other thing is, Tony, the rugby guys admit, Eddie Jones turned to them, and this was a team that had been at a World Cup and flopped, and said, you guys aren't fit both physically and mentally. And you think, what, with all the physiological background, the RFU? And he made them do drills and work them again and again and got them tougher mentally and fitter. Now, my point being, Mike, you have to have footballers who are going to buy into that. Mm. That is the key issue. Whatever you're going to drop in, whoever you're going to bring in as the manager, whatever his system, the players have to buy into it. And that's one of the key things that worries me now.
So which players will survive this? You know, you look at Wayne Rooney, would he be worth sticking with? Younger players obviously will evolve and others will emerge, but who are going to be the casualties of all this?
Well, Rooney's got to be the big one, hasn't he? You know, it's Hodgson stuck with him and he built his team around him. He shoehorned him into positions that perhaps he shouldn't have been anywhere near. And you know what? People say, oh, he got rave reviews, you know, sitting deep, spraying those balls. And, you know, and he did look good. It was easy on the eye, also easy on the opposition. Look at the scoreline. The Americans have a saying, scoreboard dudes, and the scoreboard tells you a really ugly story. Rooney had the space to play his game. But you know what? He's at his best when he's in the opposition penalty area and hurting people. And perhaps he's passed his best. I'd move on this obsession with the captaincy. And I'd try and build around the young players and just take advantage of all the pace that's there. The speed kills, as they say, and England's at it and didn't use it.
What about Joe Hart?
Well, I've been doing a column through the tournament with Ronald Koeman, you know, who's obviously won the European Championship as a player and got a very good take on world football. And I just mentioned earlier, and it was obviously before last night's game, about Joe Hart being vulnerable and, you know, the goals he'd been letting in. And he, of course, had worked with Fraser Forster at Southampton, and he said, listen, make no mistake, Fraser Forster is now ready to be England's number one goalie. In temperament, very different to Joe Hart about the way he conducts himself, but he said, on ability, he's there. Now, he actually did say, I bet Roy Hodgson won't want to change his goalie mid-tournament because of where you are and the things it entails. But he said, going forward, there is no doubt in his mind that Fraser Forster's ready. I've got to say, the way you see Joe Hart flapping at things, and as has been mentioned, the way he almost over-psychs himself up, and you almost wanted to carry. It reminded me of seeing Paul Gascoigne before that famous cup final where he's looking like a man demented and then goes and wires into the tackle on Gary Charles, and you're thinking of all the things Gazza needed that day. It was calming down, not winding up. And Joe Hart appears to be in that.
Yeah. I think we've got to come to terms with the fact that England teams are pretty unpopular globally. You know, a lot of people would be laughing, not just behind their hands with this, around the football world. There was a great video of the Welsh team watching England. Yeah. What about Wales? Can you try and put into perspective their achievement? They're in the quarterfinal, tough game against Belgium, but at least they're there.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of tournaments. And, you know, they're quite the opposite. They know they're not good enough, but they work together. You know, and one of the things is, and I think it's something we've seen in the Premier League over the past 15 years, this obsession with marquee players, with superstars, you know, these marquee players has come into the lexicon. And, you know, we've got to have a big sign in this year. No, it's a team game. What you need to do is get a group of 11 players who are greater than the sum of the parts, and Wales have done that. England was significantly less than the sum of the parts. Mm. And people have got to get away from, oh, we've got the stars, we've got all the stars. Oh, how can we get Wayne Rooney in this team? Well, you know what? Maybe the team will work better without him. Maybe get people who aren't so good, but will run for the people around them. And, you know, Jose Mourinho, when so it's his best teams, he talks about this band of brothers ethic, where they all just go to the wall for each other. And that's what creates winning sides. Mm-hmm. A group of highly talented individuals is always going to bomb out.
And the other thing with Wales is, let's be honest with this, they are dominated by one key player, without a doubt. And Gareth,
one key player with the right instincts, absolutely grounded, humble.
Correct. I was just going to say, when we were talking earlier about the DNA in footballers and how they approach it and the career aspect, there is a guy that all the feedback I've heard tells me what a good guy, always kept his humility and aware of his roots, has gone to Real Madrid as the most expensive player in the world and attempted as best he had to embrace Madrid, Real Madrid as a football club, not try to play, well, I've cost all this money, so you've got to bow to me, I'm now that. He has worked away, and according to people who know him much better than me and who deal with him on a daily basis, they say the guy is still the same Gareth Bale that first went into Southampton. People approach him for things. Can you help with this? He is always giving, always of his time, his energy. He's brilliant. Now, that is what I'm saying to you. We need more of that. The gifted player who knows his part and plays that part. And guess what? The Welsh players respect him for it.
And the thing is, as well, we've seen a transformation in Gareth Bale in this tournament. Because, you know, in the Real Madrid dressing room, he's you know, he's a bit of a sort of, he's very quiet. You know, he's not part of the cliques.
He's actually shown up better than Cristiano Ronaldo, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, yeah. But also, he's come out and he's become vocal. He's shown signs of leadership for the first time. You know, it's you know, he sort of basically, you know, laughed off England and Hodgson, quite rightly so. You know, it's and the Wales squad have responded to that, because not only is he a nice guy, not only, you know, he doesn't sort of pull the superstar stunts and, you know, and pull rank on them, but he's emerging as a leader and they'll follow him.
They're playing Belgium. In many ways, they're the epitome of what you talked about, a team of talented individuals. Are they a team? Wales got any chance of beating them?
They've got a chance. I've got to say, the way, and if as a Chelsea fan, I'd be thinking, what was Eden Hazard doing all last season? But you look at the personnel and Belgium should win that game. But Chris Coleman has got a system that works for his team. They've bought into it and he does have one of the great match winners in the whole tournament in Bale. So Wales have a real chance. Of course, Belgium should win, but Wales are in there and you get Gareth Bale on the ball or taking one of those free kicks as he does and there's another win in it for them.
What about the game that England should have been in? France against Iceland. What's your view on the hosts, Tony?
Well, they haven't quite fired yet, have they? I mean, they've got a lot of good players. I mean, I kind of don't get the Pogba thing. Everyone's, you know, always tells me how great Pogba is, and then I see him. He's kind of explosive. He'd work great in the Premier League. You know, he's very physical but dumb. Makes bad decisions. You know, it's a love him in the Premier League. I think Griezmann is going to be a real danger. He looked a bit out of form at the beginning of the tournament, but the partnership with Giroud is working for them. I think that'll cause Iceland a few problems. And you could see Iceland towards the end of the England game. You'd see they were knackered. You know, they started the same team in all the games so far in the Euros. They'll undoubtedly be as close to that team as possible, you know, against France. So you'd think France could go through. But let's face it, we're all Icelandic now.
What about Giroud? You know, you mentioned him. You know, here's someone who's being booed by his own fans, you know, a matter of weeks ago, playing an absolutely pivotal role.
And face the fact that in the French media and with the French fans, they don't, you know, just as Arsenal fans are saying, we need a clinical striker, we don't want this guy. In the national team, there's been no respite for him. And yet he just seems to have that. Again, there is probably a degree of self-belief in there that sees him through all this. You know, despite the criticism, he's done well. And you watch him in games and you think, gosh, He's got a level of fitness, of strength. He's looking strong out there and looks like he's going to be a problem for people. I've got to say, I'm intrigued. One thing, I'd love to see now going forward what the French do about long throws against Iceland. Seriously, in that it is a different thing. We were dealing with that 20 years ago and everybody was doing it. It's drifted out of the game. Iceland have turned the clock back with that. Let's just see how France cope with that.
So, Tony, Portugal, another one-man team, certainly according to Mr. Ronaldo. How are they going to get on against Poland?
Well, I mean, Ronaldo has a bad start to the tournament, but you can see he's growing, and he'll have been lifted by Messi missing the penalty in the Copa America and Argentina losing. Now, you know, neither of them's won an international championship, and he'll have one eye on that. Portugal very much like England. Loads of talented young players, but like they all have to subvert the game to Ronaldo. And at 31, with the tendonitis he's got, he hasn't got the ability to carry a team like he once had. But can he drag them through a couple more games? Wouldn't surprise me.
I quite like Poland. They look really solid to me. Very good at the back. The sort of team that you'll find a couple of those players being signed when the transfer window opens in a couple of weeks.
Well, again, I mean, we've not seen Lewandowski on the goal scoring sheet yet. You're left perplexed by that because you think he's going to come good. I think the one that struck me watching them is Blazikowski, the midfield player whose work rate is incredible. You know, he really does cover yards. So I think, yeah, you're looking at a team. I've got a theory that the now the teams stand out. It's very hard for a one man, you know, like you're saying, the Ronaldo carrying Portugal. I think Poland will catch them now. I think you'll see the best teams will suddenly get through into the last four.
Almost a final in itself on Saturday, Germany against Italy. Germany, you know, only team not to concede. Italy, as we said earlier on, David, a masterclass in their last 16 game. That's going to be fascinating, isn't it?
We all know the stat that Germany don't beat Italy in tournaments. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if that continues. Germany have been very good. I mean, the way they picked apart Slovakia, you know, England couldn't break them down. They just did it with ease. But there isn't a snap about the passing that there was 2 years ago. There's a little bit of a lack of pace, the same as with Spain, and Italy exploited that. I'd expect Italy to have a similar game plan against Germany as they had with Spain, and they'll be looking to get the ball forward quick and get amongst those German defenders, which, again, is probably the weakest department of the side. Italy are looking anonymous, that's for sure.
3-5-2, very, very clever system if it's worked well. As we said earlier, you know, it has to be really regimented. Chelsea fans looking at that, are they seeing a bit of a blueprint for what their season might be next season?
Well, I think the coach is smart enough to know you've got to work with the players you've got, and clearly he's the basis of his. The back is working with Buffon, and the back three is from Juventus, so he knew what he was getting, and they are brilliant. And I've got to say, it was pointed out to me a few years ago, and I stand by this now, the Italian defenders are brilliant because they see an art form in defending. And yet they are ruthless and brutal at times, but at times the way they'll block people and just use the body for strength, not hitting and kicking people, but the actual intelligence they've got, they're fantastic at it. But the other thing that struck me watching them, particularly in the win over Spain, they're playing Spain, who still have got this one thing driven around Iniesta of they will get the ball in midfield. Italy just go, we're not going to play that way. We don't want to get into this. We're not going to go three against three or try and play ticky-tacky in there. So every time they've got their wing-backs to spare, they get De Rossi on the ball and he hits this big diagonal pass. And guess what? Two strikers and a full-back are tanking in at your defence very quickly because they're not playing ticky-tacky football through there. Now, I can appreciate the way Spain play, but I think you've got to admire Conte for saying, well, we'll take that bit out of the game and we'll play what we want to. And he's got Pello, who is a great target man, and the boy Adair, who's lightning quick, did the business off them. And every time you just watch, you watch De Rossi on the ball, bang, and he changes the play and off they go. They're great at it.
They'll take Cruz off the game the same way.
Well, it's basics, isn't it? You know, when you're being attacked, condense the space. When you're going forward,
Make it big.
You know, stretch the play. Yeah. Yeah. It's not rocket science. What I found really interesting.
Hang on, Mike, but why didn't Roy Hodgson in England?
Oh, well, they didn't pay him enough, David. I think that's probably what it is. If you look at the system that the Italians play, do you think, because you know we look at tournaments as almost like learning exercises, do you expect English coaches to try and pick up little bits and bobs from what's going on?
Oh, yeah, but we do it the wrong way over in this country. It's all monkey see, monkey do. You know, instead of going, OK, you know, you look at Conte and... Well, one of the things Conte also does a lot is change the shape of the team during games to see how it's going. He's very, very pragmatic that way. But, you know, no, we'll go, oh, the Italians have done that. Let's play their system. Let's get every kid from the age of 10 through to the first team to play that system. And like, and then we'll all be able to fit the, you know, we'll all be able to slot the players in. No, you know what? Look at the team you've got and see how you can apply what they do to them. You know, pragmatism is so important in football. And we've seen this mythology of systems. You know what? Conte will switch his system. If it's not working against Germany, he'll change it. And he's proud of it. In his press conferences afterwards, he's always like, do you see the way I changed things? You know, I changed things twice. Yeah, it worked, didn't it?
And very he spots it. That's the other thing. Because a lot of people you've seen just go, it's drifting. And he will bring somebody in 10 yards. It might be you coming out there, bring them in off the flanks, just tucking in there. And it just blocks off a threat. But do you know something? Like, on this thing with we're saying about Conte and the way he changes it, you saw down the years England teams when we used to set up with a 4-4-2, the number of times they'd say, oh, well, the opposition played three in midfield against us and we couldn't get the ball off because we were going two against three. So what went wrong for England against Iceland then? Because we had three in that area with Wayne Rooney, Dyer and Dele Alli, you never knew there was an extra man in there because the Iceland lot are playing a 4-4-2.
Maybe we had a coach, to quote a Belgian journalist after that game, who likened Roy Hodgson to a cow watching a train go past. If we take as read that we think that Gareth Southgate will take over, let's just be a bit... Let's play a bit of fantasy football here. Who should be the England manager?
Oh, it's a difficult one. I mean, I actually don't think it needs to be someone with such a big name. You know, I think you could argue Sam Allardyce's case. And certainly, I'd like to see them go for someone young and like Eddie Howe and say, you know what, he's organised, his teams play good football. You know, how he'd deal with the superstars would be interesting. I'm sure from what I know of him, he'd slap them down. And I'd like to see something like that. We won't. We'll see Southgate and, you know, we'll see the same old FA, that, you know. And, you know, it's like we'll get the same stuff, won't we? Oh, the looking ahead. It won't be till 2022 next. It'll be, you know, it'll be 2026. They'll be putting things in place so England will win the World Cup in 2026. You know what? No more jam tomorrow. Get someone in who can get them to win now.
And who would that be? Or should that be?
The one I've always thought I'd love to see as England manager, and he's not English, so that's going to go, is Arsene Wenger. I'd love to see him, with his knowledge and his knowledge of the global game and his tactical appreciation, have a run with England. But I'm certain it won't happen now because of his contractual situation and the fact that the FA aren't going to pay enough to get a manager of Wenger's calibre into that job.
Well, I agree with David. Wenger will be perfect. It won't happen, but it should. Thanks for joining us here on Life's a Pitch.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.